Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief. I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted to be able to talk to people my age who understood firsthand what I've gone through. That shared experience is what inspired me to create this podcast. If you don't want to do the talking yourself, I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief. Today, I'm speaking with Lisa Athen, who is a grief specialist, a national speaker, and the founder and executive director of Grief Speaks. Her passion is to normalize grief and help teens and adults find healthy ways to cope and grow through grief, losses of all kind, and even trauma. Ms. Athen speaks in schools, leads assemblies and classroom discussions, as well as provides workshops and grief support for schools, communities, and individuals, both in person and virtually. Ms. Athen, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me, Lulu.
To start, could you explain what Grief Speaks is and why your work is important?
Sure. So Grief Speaks is an organization that I started about 12 years ago because I had done a lot of work in drug and alcohol addiction. I've worked in an inpatient psychiatric unit with a lot of people with mental health issues. And there realized that so many people wound up either feeling suicidal or developed addiction or struggled with depression and anxiety, often as a result, either directly or indirectly due to grief. And the grief might have been a loss due to death or a loss of a job or loss of a dream. And I started thinking that this is really important to get out and talk to people about going through losses in life and that helping them find healthy ways to cope. So I started a business and thought Grief Speaks is a good name because grief has to speak, whether it speaks through art, through journaling, through a support group, but it's got to find a way for us to express it or else it can go under and then come out at other times in our life in unhealthy ways.
Definitely. And I know it's really hard to speak about your grief and your losses. So how do you encourage people to do that?
So again, when I worked in the inpatient unit, it was different because everyone was there because they had to be there. And we would do grief, we would do support group type, like a group counseling that people would share. But even then, in that atmosphere, people were hesitant. So I think I have found that vulnerability, which Brené Brown speaks a lot about, it's contagious. So when I share a little of my pain with someone, it allows someone else to be a little more courageous and be vulnerable and share their story. So I find one of the best ways to get people to open up is just to share. When I tell people I do grief work, almost always someone wants to tell me a story about a loss in their life. And I really so appreciate hearing those stories from people. So I think one way is to be honest ourselves. And the other is, you know, listening and being that supportive, non-judgmental person to somebody.
I've noticed a lot on your website that Grief Speaks seems to really emphasize the importance of listening. Why is this pure listening so important? And how does a teenager experiencing grief create relationships where other people are going to listen to them in this way?
It's a really hard and good question because number one, that listening is so important. If we ask people on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best listener, how would they rate themselves? Probably most people would give themselves a high score. But if I ask their teenage children or their friends, they might not give that same person the highest score, especially when it comes to adults. And I'll say, you know, what happens when you try to talk to an adult about your grief or about any problem? And they'll say, oh my gosh, immediately they get all upset or defensive, but they want to tell us what to do. When we listen, we want to listen in a way that we honor that everyone's loss is really a big loss to them. And I think one of the ways that teens can kind of encourage their friends to listen is to say to them, you know what, I know you guys really want to help me now. I'm going to tell you a couple things that would be really helpful for me. Like, don't change the subject every time I bring up my loss. And if my mom just died and you're talking about your mom, you don't have to stop talking when I walk in the room, because that makes it really awkward. Kids almost need to teach their friends and parents and people around them how to talk to them in a way that could let them open up a little bit.
That makes a lot of sense. In my personal experience, it's been really hard to have conversations with people who don't know what they're dealing with when somebody's lost somebody very important to them and don't know whether to brush it off or always be thinking about it. So the advice to talk to those people and say, hey, this is what I need, is really helpful.
Somebody once said to me after her son died, who was in college, and she was going back to work, and she said, I know my colleagues don't know what to say. Now, they're not even teenagers, but they were all at a loss of what to say. So she said that I said to them, I know none of you know what to say, because there really are no words. And that broke the ice, and everybody took a breath and said, okay, we didn't want to say the wrong thing. When I speak in schools, I hold dominoes, which a social worker in Maine used dominoes as a metaphor for grief, and there's a whole involved way she explains it. But basically, I will ask students, like, what's important in your life? And I'll hold up a domino and I'll say, my friends, my family, school, education, dreams. And I'll say, you know, sometimes suddenly or not suddenly, I'll spill all the dominoes and they spill everywhere. And when our dominoes spill out, and when you're a teenager and you have to go back to school, adults can take some time off, but teens get a couple days off, they have to go back. And just walking into school anyway takes a lot of energy, emotional energy. When you're a teen, like most adults, you could pay me millions of dollars, I would never go back to middle school, maybe a certain days of high school, but we don't want to do it again. It's because we remember. So after a loss, people don't know what to say, and you feel very isolated, you feel alone. So I show when the dominoes are spilled out, people come up and they'll say things like, I know how you feel, my cat died. Now, I love my cat, but that doesn't feel good. Or people say things like they're in a better place. And we want to say that they're better places with me. And how do you know where they are? So people, even kids, or a lot of teenagers will say, I'm sorry. And a lot of young people don't like that everyone says I'm sorry to them. So even that, even if a friend attempts to say something helpful, it's hard because people don't really know what to say. And that's why I love kids being in support groups with other teens who've had a loss, because they really get it.
Exactly. When people just try to help you, it doesn't feel right, because there's not a lot that you can actually do that would feel like it was alleviating some of your pain. So understanding is really more of the more important thing. Okay. When you talk to schools or work with teenage parents, what's the most important thing that you try to impress upon them about grief and recovery?
So I think, and grief, we talk about, right, healing, and what is the most important thing. So I'll tell teens in schools, and I also tell parents and caregivers, that first of all, teens grieve differently than adults, and everyone grieves differently. And sometimes teens judge themselves harshly anyway for lots of things. They're constantly comparing. So say your parent dies and you go to their funeral. This is in the old days when we could actually go to a funeral. Right now it's more like virtual. And a teen will say, I didn't cry. I'll say a lot of people don't cry at a funeral of someone they really love. Not everyone is comfortable expressing their feelings in front of other people. That has nothing to do with how much you love the person. So sometimes what I encourage teens to do is be more compassionate with themselves and to kind of figure out, are they more the kind of person that would like to join a support group and talk about their loss with others? Or are they more private in their grieving? And they're cognitive grievers. They think about their pain a lot. They don't want to share it necessarily. Or are they more instrumental in their grief that they want to join an organization and help other people? Or do they want to dive into their schoolwork or change even their course, their major about that? So for parents, I do a lot of also, how do we get those communications? How do we say to a teenager, you know, you're in your room all the time. You're kind of, I'm trying to talk to you about it. Do you want to talk about it or not? And to be able to not be come down on the teen and kind of give them the space to say, actually, I'd rather talk to my friends right now about it. I mean, I work with a lot of teens who lose friends. And that's hard too, because when you lose a family member, the whole family's grieving, although differently, because we all have different relationships with people. But when you lose a friend, your family's not necessarily grieving that friend the way you are. So you feel very isolated. So kids will want to go in their room and get online with their friends who really get it. So sometimes it's educating adults not to take things personally.
That is really important, because I remember I didn't cry at my father's funeral, but I cried a bunch in my room alone. And even when my mom would come in, I wouldn't really want to talk to her. So hearing that that is normal and it's okay to not want anyone around you when you're grieving is a really big deal.
And I think teaching each other to say that, because no matter what relationship we're in, with our family, with our friends, or a significant other, it's really important to be able to say, you know what I found out for me when I'm processing loss? Because we're going to have lots of loss in our life. Not that we're going to do every loss the same, but kind of like a panic attack. When you have a panic attack, you typically kind of go through the same process yourself, not as someone else, but you kind of know. When we have a loss, there are certain strengths we call upon in ourselves, and there are certain things that we tend to do. So you have your things that you do to help you feel safe and calm. So I think when it comes to that, teaching kids and adults to say, hey, when I'm going through a tough time, I need some privacy. I want some friend time. I don't want you to keep saying, are you okay? Are you okay? Because a lot of adults do that and it drives kids crazy. And I'll say to the kids, like, how is your mom going to know you're okay without her asking you that? Can you say that if I'm struggling or if I really need to talk to someone, I will come to you and say, let's call a counselor, or, you know, I need to just sit with you now.
Yeah, I think that's equally as important, that the conversation is two-sided. So what is one takeaway that you want my listeners to hear?
I would want your listeners to know that grief is so individual that it affects us all in different ways, and yet we all go through grief. So although it's individual and when we're going through it, it feels like no one gets us, other people have had loss. And if we take that chance and reach out to someone and say, hey, this is what I'm going through, this is what might help me, and I know that you're going through something different, maybe your parents are being divorced and I had a loss, maybe we could learn to support each other and we can learn to say, I really want to talk about it, I don't want to talk about it. One other thing is to just teach friends to say, how can I be a good friend to you now that this has gone on? Do you want to not talk about it today? Can you let me know day to day what you need so I can be there for you? Because I think really, like, teens are great at supporting their friends, but they're sometimes just afraid to talk about it. But they show up, they stay in their basement with their friend, they wrap their arms around them, they'll text them all night long and say, what do you need? I'm here for you. But sometimes they're both just afraid to say, to talk about the elephant in the room. And it's okay to say, look, I haven't brought it up because I didn't want to upset you. But if you want to talk about that thing, I can really listen. And then when we listen, last thing, turn that phone off or turn it on, not on vibrate, on silent. Because nowadays with our phones, adults too, it's so hard when you finally get the courage to talk about the hard thing to have someone's eyes looking at their phone. So that's the other important takeaway to really just be there and listen. And you don't have to fix it because they can't fix it.
Those are definitely all scenes and things that I relate to. Ms. Athan, thank you for your time and insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.